You may have noticed that the Oxford Dictionary has chosen as the word of the year for 2022, goblin mode. I know that's two words, but apparently that's allowed. I wasn't familiar with the phrase, to be honest, which apparently means rejecting societal expectations and living in an unkempt, hedonistic manner without regard to self-image. Goblin mode. Well, enough about my student days. Other candidates for the word of the year were metaverse, permacrisis, and Homer. Words. Don't you love them? We'd be pretty stuck without them. 10 minutes playing charades after Christmas dinner soon reveals that it's much easier to say what you mean with words. Words are the way we clothe our ideas and make them presentable, intelligible, negotiable. And while signs and gestures can get something across, the more abstract and the more profound ideas require words in order to make communication clear and possible. That great master of words, Oscar Wilde, said, "Ultimately, the bond of all companionship, whether in marriage or in friendships, is conversation. And where there is a stony silence, or where there are language difficulties, it can be hard to get close." Words are always interesting, and they can also be very beautiful. The fascination of crosswords, or doing your daily wordle, is the sheer extravagant richness of language, and the zany nature of vocabulary. Word games intrigue us. We struggle to find the mot juste, the right word for the right moment, and there is always a word that's just right. Clever use of language appeals to us. We enjoy listening to someone articulate and learned like Stephen Fry or Garrison Keillor, or reading writers whose eloquent, imaginative use of language is so satisfying. Or the lyrics of a great songwriter, be it Cole Porter or Joni Mitchell, Noel Coward or Leonard Cohen, they tickle our imagination and create a pleasing effect. Words can be so beautiful, moving us, touching tender chords in us, stirring the imagination, catching hold of our soul with their soaring loveliness. Henry James reckoned the two most beautiful words in the English language were summer afternoons. Summer afternoons. Dorothy Parker took a more prosaic and pragmatic line when she claimed that the two most beautiful words in the English language were check enclosed. But words are also powerful, dangerous. They can destroy careers, shatter happiness in a sentence. They can be used like a whiplash on someone else's feelings. People can be brutally frank, shatteringly straightforward, devastatingly wounding. And words are the weapons we use to cut someone down to size, to undermine their confidence. They say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not what social media teaches us. Cruel words can be the razors that slash a reputation to shreds, close down a West End musical, bring down a politician, break a teenager's heart. Yet we know that, on the other hand, words can bring healing. They can express love or help bring into being a fresh beginning when someone says sorry or offers a word of encouragement or says I love you and the sunshine breaks again over someone's life. The child who's been praised feels a glow of pleasure. The downhearted individual finds a new courage, and words genuinely spoken prove again and again to be medicine for the soul. So, powerful things, words. Not least when spoken by the great orators, Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr., Barack Obama, shaping thinking, inspiring nations. Wow. Powerful things, words. It takes a word from the captain and the ship sets sail. A word from the corporal and the firing squad takes aim and fires. Proactive words that effect changes in circumstances. Take them to the cells. Not guilty. Abandon ship. Brace. Words that just don't sit around doing nothing, but prompt, instigate, influence events. The church takes its inspiration from God's word and understands how it can be part of our lives, influencing our thinking. For the Bible makes it clear that God's word too is active and powerful. In creation, when he speaks and there is light, where out of nothing he brings newborn worlds upon newborn worlds, and for his glory, our little world with its mystery and its majesty. His word, active and powerful in helping. His enslaved people in Egypt hear his word, set my people free, and hope is kindled. The exiled Jews in Babylon hear the promise of their return to Jerusalem, and drooping shoulders lift, steps become firmer. The waiting world hears his promise of a saviour and the promise of peace through him and lifts up its voice in song. O come, Emmanuel. While across the sombre graveyards of the world, the message of God is proclaimed. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever has faith in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And hope is born. But this we know for sure. His word is also active and powerful in judgment of those who oppress the poor. And through his prophets, God declares his solidarity with the disadvantaged and the forgotten people. His word calls to account those who disdain and flout his authority and assures them that the fire of his righteous anger will burn up all the useless chaff of their pretensions and disobedience. That those who choose to blight his purposes with their sin stand judged by his law and by his love. And as the judge's word, guilty as charged, sets in motion the due processes of the law, so God's verdict on us puts us in the desperate position of being in need of rescue, salvation, help, forgiveness. This is not a game. We need this Saviour promised. The New Testament insists that we recognise the powerful significance and effect of the Word of God. But it reminds us, as we're beginning to sense, that there are two sides to that reality. The New Testament describes God's Word as a two-edged sword cutting surgically into the very core of our complacencies, wounding us with the incisive honesty of its truth. We're not dealing here with the cloying comfiness of a cosy chat over a cup of coffee. There is fire in God's word, burning up the dross of our superficialities, purifying us with its truth, exposing us to the white heat of God's will and his disturbing, unsettling vision of who we are and what we have done. John the Baptist calls for that burning word to shape our priorities. For the word of God comes to us often as a rebuke, a demand, a summons, a challenge. And as such, is bound to leave us shaken, sometimes even broken, as we look into the mirror of God's truth and discover who we really are. At once paupers in the rags and tatters of our disobedience, yet strangely too declared to be citizens of heaven by God's mercy. So this word of God is not some optional extra to be looked at as infrequently and as casually as the magazines in the doctor's waiting room. This word of God is, these words of God are crucial, transforming, powerful. For his word is truth, and his word gives life. Truth beyond the deceits, pretenses and lies of our world. Life beyond the dead ashes of our half-hearted spirituality. This word of God that he spoke in the beginning to bring all things into being, which holds everything together still in grace and love. Too crucial to ignore, too vital to disregard. The word given to us clearly and in mercy, so that we might be rich in truth and in blessing. But hold on a minute, there are two sides to words. Speakers need hearers. Talkers need listeners. When I was a student, we used to explore a little conundrum about a tree falling down in the forest. Would it make a noise if there was no one there to hear it? Sound needs a recipient in order to be sound. I remember the humbling experience of taking a service at the hospital where I was chaplain. One of the elderly patients kept his hands over his ears for the duration of the service. Well, at least he was upfront about it. But there are many people going about with their hands over their ears when God's word comes and their conscience is stabbed and the shabbiness of their lifestyle is exposed and challenged and the ancient ugly quarrels are called in question, or the call to Christian service comes loud and clear in the soul but is refused, ignored, dismissed. Or when the summons to Christian compassion and concern is presented stark and raw, yet a deaf ear is turned, the challenge resisted. And sadly, sometimes, when comfort is offered through the great truths and the promises of the faith and the fabulous, tender words of the Bible, that comfort is unheard or rejected or sidestepped. One wise man said, "Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them." A while back, there was a great series of adverts for the Scottish Bible Society showing a brightly coloured edition of the Bible with the slogan, "Any colour, as long as it's red." The Word of God is a powerful resource for our Christian living, for a Christian witness, a treasure that we have in our hands. Through his word, there is no doubt that God is speaking to us. The real question is, are we listening?